We appreciate the children singing today, and that's, I know that's a song that little children sing from time to time, but Jesus really does love the children of the world, and he used them while he was here during his ministry. He used children at different times to teach lessons and to give us examples. One of the things that the Lord did was he used a child to teach a lesson about humility and as an example of humility. And it really is unfortunate that as we grow into adulthood that we lose that childlike humility too often. But I appreciate the children today. Well, I certainly want to ask for your prayers as I try to share with you the things that God has placed upon my heart. And I want to begin today with just one verse. Brother Mike Wheat taught about from the Psalms this morning and said some really good things about the Psalms that have been written and that we have in the Scriptures. And I want to read to begin today one verse from the 115th Psalm. Psalm 115, and I want to call your attention there to what is said in the first verse of this psalm. It's what I want to speak about today. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And I want to speak today about giving glory to God and how important it is that we do that. The Bible tells us, "Unto him," that is unto God, "be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And everything that we do, every thing that the church undertakes to do, we could say, well, what's the reason for doing this, or what's the reason for doing that? And everything that we do, first and foremost, it's for the glory of God. It's that the Lord may be lifted up, that the Lord may be exalted. And sometimes I hear, people talk about church, and, too often it seems that it's made to be about us. And you probably have heard it said, people, I know I have, I've heard people say, "Well, I'm not really getting, I'm not really getting what I want." But, I've never read in the Scriptures where it's about us. It's about the Lord. It's about him. It's about exalting him. It's about serving him. And, I think that it would benefit all of us to not think about what we can get, but think about what we can give. And we certainly ought to give honor and glory to the Lord as much as we possibly can with our lives. And the reason that we should do that, and the Scriptures give us some things that tell us why that we should glorify God. And, really, it is a privilege. It's only by His grace, and I might have some things to say about that in a little while, but it's only by God's grace that we can even do anything with our lives that would glorify the Lord. He has to help us with everything that we would do in order for us to be able to accomplish that. But one of the things that the Scriptures teach us, one of the great reasons that we should give the Lord honor and glory is because He is the Creator. Because without Him, we have no existence. Without Him, there would be no human race. And so certainly that is a great reason why we should give honor and glory to the Lord. And if you look in the 100th Psalm, the 100th Psalm in verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And so we praise the Lord, or we ought to anyway, we ought to praise the Lord and glorify Him because that He is the Creator. And I've said this many times, that's to me, that's the greatest folly when you think about idolatry, when you think about what we read in the Scriptures about how that even the children of Israel at times, after they had seen the great, awesome working of God's power, even slipped into idol worship. And it's, you know, to me, it's just absurd to think of worshiping something that you made, to make something with your hands, to make something out of stone or something out of wood, something that can't talk to you, something that cannot console you, something that can't comfort you in your times of sorrow, something that has no life in it, that you would even have to pick up yourself and move from place to place to worship something like that is really absurd. But, you know, when you worship God, you worship the Creator. You worship the One that created you. And you know, there are two great, well-established, unchangeable facts that I would like to put before you this morning. And that is, one, that there is a divine God. There is an almighty God in heaven. He does exist. And we can look around and we can see the things that have been made, and they are enough to testify to us of His existence. There is an almighty divine God. And the second fact that's well established and unchangeable is that none of us are Him. We're not Him. And God is in a class all by Himself. And if we look in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, He says, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Now, you know, none of us today would be able to say that God has ever come to us and sought counsel about anything. God has never come to us and asked us how to do something. God has never brought before any of us a question about anything and said, "Can you give me the answer to this?" God is above all. He knows all things. He has all power in heaven and in earth, and it is in Him that we exist. It's in Him that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. If you look in the 4th chapter of Revelation, in verse 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? Why is God worthy to receive glory and honor and power? It says, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Now listen, if anybody is here today and just doesn't have a clue why you were created, there's the answer. You were created for God's pleasure, or we might say for His purpose. Solomon said that to fear God and keep His commandments is the whole purpose of man. In the King James Bible, it says the whole duty of man, but it means the same thing. To reverence God and to keep His commandments is why we are here. To give honor and glory to Him is why man was created in the first place. Because there again, in the Revelation, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, it tells us that we were all things, including us, that we were created for His purpose and for His pleasure. And so we are to give glory to Him. In the 139th Psalm, in verse 14, David there in that psalm, he made reference to the fact that he would praise the Lord. He said, I will praise Thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so, you know, we did not make ourselves. It's God that made us. We are the sheep of His pasture. And listen, if we would have had to have waited until we possessed the ability to create ourselves, we never would have existed. We never would have got that done. And we did not come into the world by some big blast or by some big boom. We are the work of the hands of the Lord. And the Bible tells us in the first chapter of James, in verses 16 and 17, it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I believe that what James wrote there is exactly right. He was talking about every good gift, whether it be temporal or whether it be spiritual, whether it be natural or spiritual, whether it be the temporal blessings of life that we receive from the hands of God, but I think probably even more emphasizes those spiritual gifts that God bestows upon us. If you have been saved by God's grace, you know, as we sung about in the song this morning, you know that when you were shackled by sin, when that great burden of sin was upon your heart, and the great inner pain and the turmoil that you had within, that the Lord was the only one that you were able to go to be relieved of that pain. You know, He was the only one that we could go to seek peace and to remove that condemnation of sin from us and to give us peace within. There was nobody else that could accomplish that but Him. And listen, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you owe Him all the honor and all the glory that you can possibly give Him because He has done for us what nobody else was able to do. You know, if God is not praised, and the Scriptures teach us this very well, if God is not praised and honored and glorified among the saints, then we have failed. We failed. But you know what? God, the Lord Jesus, made it known while He was here on earth that if we fail to do that, that there are even other things in the world that would step up and that would praise Him. When He was coming into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees, as the people of God were praising the Lord as He was coming into Jerusalem, and those religious leaders tried to get Jesus to rebuke them and to silence them, the Lord said, if I do that, the stones would cry out. But you know what? Listen, though, it's not the stones that ought to do that. It's those who ought to praise him more than anything, even though all of the creation does praise the Lord. But the part of God's creation that ought to really praise him and ought to really glorify him are those that he has touched by his grace, those that he has forgiven of sin, those that he has saved by his grace. We have reason to glorify the Lord. We have great reason to give him honor and to give him glory. And listen, if we can ever, and I really believe this, that when we do in our lives, when we come to the mindset that this is all about the Lord, that it's not about me, it's all about the Lord, it's about me serving him, it's about me living my life for him, it's about me giving of my time to him, and doing what I can in some small, weak way to bring honor and glory to him. If I can do that, then I'm living a life worth living. I'm spending time worth spending, and we need to understand that it's about giving glory to God. Unto him, unto the Lord, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Listen, without God's grace, we're nothing. You believe that? Without his grace, we're nothing. I'll give you some scripture that proves that. But let's go back to, again, to the time that we realized that we were lost. And we came to the Lord. We came to the Lord seeking him for the salvation of our soul. And listen, there was not one of us, not a single one of us, and not only us that are living now, but all that have lived before us and all that may live after us. There's never been one single person from Adam's race that came to the Lord to seek him for salvation that was worthy of being saved. Not one. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and what he found is that there was none righteous. No, not one. Not even one was worthy of him. But we are told in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so without God's creation, we are nothing. We wouldn't even exist. Without him creating us in Christ Jesus, then we'd be nothing spiritually either. We have nothing to boast of. Nothing. We are saved by grace through faith and not ourselves. It is God's gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And if we were justified by our own goodness, if we were justified by our own works, we could boast, couldn't we? We could draw attention to ourselves and we could say, well, look at me. You know, I was such a good person that the Lord saved me because I was so good, because I deserved it so much. We could boast in ourselves. But listen, when we are saved by grace, there's no place for boasting. Boasting is excluded. All we can do is be thankful for God's unmerited favor towards us in saving us, though we were lost, though we were sinners, though we were justly separated from him because of sin. Yet God was gracious towards us and saved us. And in our service to Him, as we live our lives after we get saved and we try to serve the Lord, the same thing is true. The only way that we can do that is by His grace. It's the only way we can accomplish that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look at verses 9 and 10 at what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul said, "I'm an apostle, but I consider myself to be the very least of them. I shouldn't even be called an apostle." But he goes on and he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all." He's talking about his labors compared to the labors of the other apostles. Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." You know, Paul, he was a great missionary, and he went here and he went there, and there were churches that were established. I mean, he was a very busy worker in the vineyard of the Lord. And he's telling the Corinthians here that his labors were many. But he goes on and he says, "Yet not I." Paul's not bragging. He is not boasting. He said, "Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." By the grace of God, he said, "I am what I am." Isn't that true of all of us? Anything that we are in the vineyard of the Lord, we are that by His grace. And you know, as the children stood up here and sung that little song this morning, the reality of is that that's still true of all of us. He's still working on us. He's still shaping us and molding us and working on us and working towards that perfection. God's not finished with us yet. And as long as we live in this world, there's going to be things that we still, there's going to be areas for all of us where we still need improvement. We still need God to be the potter and to take the clay and to shape it and mold it. We will do that until the day that we die and leave this world. He'll still be working on us. But you know, we're not perfect, but boy, God is. I mean, there's not a blemish in Him at all. There's not anything wrong with God. He doesn't need any improvement. He's self-existent. He's self-sufficient. I love the 90th Psalm. 90th Psalm in the second verse says, talks about God being God before the mountains were ever even brought forth. Before the world was ever created. Even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Before anything was ever made. Now, if you tell me in your mind that you can understand this, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to believe it, because I just don't think we can grasp the concept of any body or anything that has no beginning. God has no beginning. He's always been. Everything that we know has a point of origin, but God has always been before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity to eternity, you are God. And before anything that we know in this world, before this world itself was ever created, God was God. He was God. There's no changing in him. James said there is no variableness, which means he doesn't change. In Malachi chapter 3, I believe verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's perfect today. He was perfect yesterday. He was perfect in eternity. Before the world ever began. Perfect. He is a perfect God. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He said, if you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. But he said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you won't accomplish anything. With me and through me and by abiding in me, you can. You can be fruitful in the work of the Lord. You can accomplish things by me. What does the scriptures tell us there in John 15:5? Jesus said, without me you can't do anything. But what did Paul say that we can do through him? All things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, but without him, we can't do anything. And so, listen, in our lives, whenever we get a victory, whenever we gain a victory in any way, we need to, like the song says, the song, I believe the title of it is My Tribute. Like the song says, to God be the glory. To God be the glory, because he's the one that gave us the victory. And that's true in his saving our souls. That's true in anything that we can accomplish in his name, that he gives us the victory, and he deserves the praise for all of it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in the first chapter, I believe, of 1 Corinthians, or perhaps it was the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gave the increase. You know, if we approach our upcoming revival meeting, if we approach it in the mindset of what we can get for ourselves, if we approach it in the way that, how is it going to benefit me, then I don't believe we're going to see much happen. But, you know, if we want to serve, if we want to give, if we want to honor God, if our hearts are right, and we want to give to the Lord, and we want to serve him and honor him, I believe he'll bless us. I do. I believe God will bless us, and we'll see great things happen. God loves it when he receives his glory. He said through the prophet Isaiah, he said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, and neither my praise to graven images. I'll tell you what, There may be people that worship idols. There may be people in the world today that still worship things above God, but God has never given His glory away to any of those things. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all honor and all glory that we can give Him. I'd like for us to have a song, Brother Strode. Let's praise the Lord. Let's lift up His name and worship Him, because He's worthy of that.
Number 242. 242. Everybody stand.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He had done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
Amen. Amen.